Well, turn to Psalm 119. We're going to finish up this particular portion of Scripture here in Psalm 119, beginning in verses 57 through 64. If you'll stand out of love and respect for God's Word. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. So we've already talked extensively about the first six verses of this passage, this Hebrew letter Cheth. And tonight we're just going to kind of wrap things up, and we are coming to the end part of our service. And so I will not be long here. But I want to kind of just put into focus for you this idea of being a companion. In verse 63, he says this comment, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. So the psalmist says that I am a companion. Now, I think in a loose sense of the word, all of us really understand what a companion is. But to get a deeper understanding, I'll read to you what is said in the dictionary. One who keeps company with another. One with whom a person frequently associates. One with whom a person frequently converses. So this is someone that you are around on a continual basis, someone that you associate with on a continual basis, someone that you converse with on a continual basis. The psalmist says that the person that I'm around, the person that I keep company with, the person that I frequently associate with, the person that I converse with or talk to, these people fall into two categories. People that fear God and people that keep thy precepts. Can I tell you something, folks? Those are the people we should want to be around. Those are the people that we should want to associate with. Those are the people that we should want to converse with. Hey, listen, we have enough experience with the world out there. We need to be in company or in companionship with people that fear God and that keep His precepts. Those should be our kind of people. Those should be our kinds of birds, or our kinds of feathered birds, if you will. Because, you know, birds of a feather. Yeah, okay, very good. Some of you know that. All right. And that's what we should be like, right? We should have companionship. He said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Who are those that fear God? The fear of God is a holy awe or reverence for God and His laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and incline them to aim at perfect obedience. Are those your companions? They should be. They should be. Those type of people should be your companion. Why? Because you are that type of person. You know, to have fellowship or companionship with birds of a feather, you both have to be of that feather, yes? So if you want to be around people that fear God, you yourself should fear God. That's who you should be. And that should attract you to others that likewise fear God. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Gee. "Who that walketh with people that fear God shall fear God." Yes. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what fools don't do? Fear God. Yeah. Don't you remember? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Yeah. That's why April Fool's Day, April 1st, is National Atheist Day. In case you didn't know. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That was just free for you in there. Now, Proverbs 13:20 says that if we're going to be a companion with wise men, we're going to be wise. If we're going to be a companion with foolish people, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be foolish. Proverbs 28:7, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." Philippians 2:25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." There was a specific individual that ministered to Paul. His name was Epaphroditus, and he was a companion in labor. He was a fellow soldier. This is someone that Paul kept company with, someone that Paul frequently associated with, someone that Paul conversated with. And Epaphroditus was a good man. And he ministered unto the needs of Paul. In Psalm 66:16, it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Hey, as we converse with one another, those of us that fear God, we can share those experiences with God that we've had. And guess what? Iron sharpeneth iron. So doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. Yeah. If I fear God and you fear God and we get together and we converse about it, it's going to make us fear God the more. Yeah. It's going to be a good thing. Companionship with them that fear God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters. For then... must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, such an one, do not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from you, from among yourselves, that wicked person." Hey, if you're going to go with these people that do these things, you're going to do that. And you're going to become that. Why would you want to become something that God doesn't want you to be? So don't be around those people. Don't go with those people. You know, young people, they think that they're invincible, right? And that they think they can persuade anyone, right? They can change anyone. And so they'll say, "Well, I'm going to be friends with these people because they need God." And what ends up happening? Those friends end up dragging them away from God. Yeah. Oh, they have got great intentions. And I'm sure they want to reach their friends for Christ, but they end up drawing them away. God says we should be companions with them that fear God. In 2 Thessalonians, he said, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Say, hey, and you know, the Bible says that we're not just supposed to be kicking people out of the church left and right, but rather it says, "But ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." We need to say, hey, we're taking a stand over here. You ought not be over there doing those things and saying those things and being that way. You need to come back to where you need to be. We need to admonish them. They're not enemies necessarily. They are maybe away from where they need to be, but they need to be brought back
to where God wants them to be.
In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The people gathered together in one place, waiting for the promise of the Father. And they were in one accord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were companions of people that feared God. And they were together. And guess what happened? Great things happened. The Holy Spirit came down upon them. They went out into the city. They preached. And 3,000 people got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing when you have companionship with them that fear God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's how it should be. Companionship with them that fear God. What happens when we don't? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it gives us an account of something that happened back in Genesis. And delivered just Lot. And that doesn't mean only. Okay? Not only Lot. Just Lot. He was just. Okay? Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Remember, one of the components of companionship was conversing with someone. So just Lot, who was a righteous man, was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You say, oh, it didn't change Lot. Have you read the story of Lot? Yes, it did change Lot. When those angels came to warn Lot and to take them out of the city, the wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah pressed against his house and commanded Lot to deliver up those men that they may know them. And yes, that's what that means. Yeah. And Lot said, oh no, don't do this to these men. Here, take my daughters. What? What? Yes, that hurt. What is wrong with you? There, did I leave a mark? There you go. Okay. I have a 5-head, not a 4-head. Okay. All right. Now, you understand. Did that change his thinking? Being in those gates from day to day, being around that filthiness? Okay, yeah, okay, I'm glad he stood up for God's messengers, but give away your daughters to these evil people? What's wrong with him? Yeah, well, he vexed his righteous soul, that's what's wrong with him. He had companionship with the wrong group, and it affected his life. Oh, later on, we have two people groups of the world brought forth because of wrong kind of relationship. Yeah, after the fact. Oh, come on now. It did change Lot. It did affect him. Hey, the psalmist said here, he says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. We ought to keep the ways of God, the commandments of God. The Israelites were instructed to keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways and fear him. We know that the Israelites were commanded to pass these things on to their children and to their children's children so that they could show to the generations to come the wonderful works of God. We know that We're supposed to walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. In Acts chapter 2, because of the fear of God that they had and gathering all in one accord in one place, we know that at the end of it all, as the people were added to the church and were baptized, it says in verse 42, it says, "Then and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, even as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's what happens when we have companionship with those that fear God and with them that keep thy precepts. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You understand? Companionship is so important. To whom do you associate? With whom do you associate? With whom do you frequently keep company? With whom do you converse? It ought to be people that fear God and people that keep His precepts. I think the psalmist is very clear who his friends were. And companionship doesn't necessarily mean you're a friend, but it does mean that you agree. Agree. We ought to be with people that agree. Now, go back and look at verse 64. Psalm 119, we'll close with this today. "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." We've already talked about the benevolence, mildness, and tenderness of heart of God. God is a God of mercy. And aren't you glad that He is merciful? Aren't you glad He is full of mercy? Aren't you glad God is quick to be merciful? That He's slow to anger, slow to wrath. How would you like it if God was always quick to judgment in your life? Yeah, most of us would not be here. Right? I'm glad my mom and dad were a little merciful. Otherwise, I shouldn't be here either, okay? Or either, whichever one you want to use. But the thing is that this is treating someone who has offended better than they deserve. Better than they deserve. Folks, let me remind you that we deserve hell. That's just the bottom line. For the wages of sin is death. But you want mercy? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, God gave us mercy. This thing of mercy is so important. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, just a few chapters over there from where we are in Psalm 119. But Psalm 98, it's not a long psalm, only 9 verses long here. But it says this, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 about the earth? "O Lord, is full of thy mercy." Okay? So here he says that He has made known His mercy to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together." Does that sound like the earth? Yeah, sea, hills, okay, waves, all that stuff that's happening. And it says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. It's interesting. That means God's merciful. God's merciful. And the whole world knows it. The earth is full of his mercy. In Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In the New Testament, a recording of the mercy of God and how it is known to all the world. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 30. Romans chapter 11. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not now believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, we know that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And we know that God is merciful, and he's used his mercy to work through our lives so we can be merciful so that others can receive mercy. That's how God wants it done. To what end? To the end that the earth is full of his mercy. Hey, you know how God's mercy is going to fill the earth? By us spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's how people can obtain mercy. Right? They come to Jesus Christ for salvation and they obtain mercy. And the earth then can be filled with his mercy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, it says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This pattern of mercy should spring forth out of us to a lost and dying world that needs God's mercy. Yeah, we should be a pattern. It happened in us, and it needs to happen to someone else through us. We get the chance to show the mercy of God to others. In Nehemiah it says, yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedest against them by the Spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. He's talking about the children of Israel. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. And that's exactly the people that Paul was talking about in Romans, the Jews. Because of their unbelief, God said that he was going to pass on his mercy to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Yes. But you know what? God's not going to forget his people. He's going to continue to give them opportunity to be saved. You know what Paul's greatest desire was? For his brethren to be born again. He even went so far as to say that if he could give up his own salvation for them to be saved, he'd do it. That's pretty amazing. You know what? We need to let God's mercy fill the earth, and it should be through us. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Folks, God knows who we are. That's why he's a merciful God. He is merciful toward us. And we, as his children, are to be merciful to others. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. The psalmist says back in Psalm 119, and we'll be done. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. In other words, in order for us to be merciful, we have to understand that God is merciful. And how God can be merciful, so that we likewise can follow him and be merciful to others. Have you received mercy? You should be willing to give mercy. Have you received the gift of God? You should be willing to give out the gift of God. Hey, are you a companion of them that fear God? Are you a companion of them that keep his precepts? And are you showing mercy as your Father in heaven showed you mercy? These are some of the concluding statements that the psalmist gives for this portion of Scripture in Psalm 119. And this is what makes it the wonderful Word of God.